All right, good. Okay, let's go ahead and take our Bibles, and let's go to Jeremiah chapter 24. We are done with our series on things we don't know. And so we found out how much we don't know, and that's okay. And those are things we're not meant to know. It's okay. Now we're going into things we know, and there's just so many things. The most obvious one I don't think I'll do, which is knowing we're going to heaven. And I'm going to do it in 30 seconds. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And there's just a bunch of verses we could do that say that. We've taught on it so much in church, and we're such a witnessing church. I do not know that I will spend a lesson on that, although it's important, a good reminder, but that's the first thing. You're not going to know much till you know you're going to heaven, because that's the first step of knowledge. Jeremiah 24, and we'll just start there and go to some passages. The first thing I want to talk about in things we know is we know the Lord. We know the Lord. Jeremiah 24. And I'm going to start at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive to of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. There's such a sermon in that, I just can't preach it right now. For I will set my eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again into this land, and I will build them, and will not pull them down, and will plant them, and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. So he says, I'm going to give them a heart to know me, and they're going to return to me. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll get into knowing the Lord. Father, thank you for the chance to teach on such a beautiful and sacred subject, Lord, with an agnostic world, much more than an atheistic world, Father. People need to know that you're personal and we can know you and know you well. Though, Lord, we can't understand necessarily the scope of you, we can certainly know you as a person. I pray you'd help us, Father, and speak to us and give us your wisdom and give us the Spirit's insight and quickening of the Scriptures. Speak to us, Father, and help us to see your way, your will. Give us strength. Some people have some battles in here, Father. All of us need refreshing from your Spirit, and I pray you give us that tonight. We thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. May we understand it a little better tonight, and some of us be transformed by understanding it for the first time. Just work powerfully in this truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7, the Lord is calling to Samuel, and he says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel didn't know the Lord. And Samuel went into Eli, of course, and it says in there in chapter 3, verse 7 of 1 Samuel, it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He didn't know the Lord yet. He was a child. Now he's going to come to know the Lord very well, but he did not yet know the Lord. But this phrase, that they may know me and that I would know them, and Samuel didn't know the Lord. Knowing is a very intimate word in the Bible, and it's used for many different applications. But to know God, to be close to Him, to know Him personally. So first point underneath this, and pretty simple with this message, is knowing the Lord is a personal experience. Knowing the Lord is a personal experience. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 Knowing the Lord is a personal experience. I know when I first started serving the Lord and growing in Him, the whole thing was a process. Before, in my life, it was a process of getting to know God before it was a process of being transformed. Now, that's just how my life worked. And I felt that because I didn't have... It's a strange thing. When you're serving God as a first-generation Christian, it kind of... If you're going to make it, you gotta have to know the Lord. He becomes your motivation. I think it is sometimes a second, and especially a third generation Christian, where their parents and grandparents were Christians, and they grew up in a Christian home, it's easy for them to be churchy and not know the Lord, but feel like they're what they should be. Because they're not doing a bunch of bad things and they're decent folks and they live a moral life. But Christianity is a personal relationship. And knowing the Lord is a personal experience. Look at the way it's talked about. And as John talks to his spiritual children, he says, listen, this is what we've experienced, and we've known this. And we want you to know the personal experience and experience God as we've experienced, so we can fellowship together in our relationship and personal experiencing and knowing God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which you have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled, of the word of life, that's Jesus. For the life was manifested, John 1, 1, you can read it all, goes along with this. And we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He says, you know, this whole thing, we've experienced God. We have seen, our hands have handled, we have heard, we've experienced God. And it's a fellowship. And truly, he says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This whole thing that we are trying to get you to experience, we have handed to you, is a fellowship with the Father and with Jesus Christ, his Son. And that's what it's all about, is fellowshipping with God. That's why we've been kind of talking about, if you're not praying, you're not fellowshipping with God, that's what prayer is, you're really missing kind of what the Christian life's all about. It's like some people think marriage is. I'm married, we have a relationship, she cooks me every night. Well, okay, that's nice. And she does laundry. Okay, how's your relationship? We have a great relationship. You know, she also cleans the house. Well, that's nice. But how's your relationship? Some of you are going, I don't get it. What's the disconnect? But that's what it's like. He works and he brings home money. Or you know what? He bounces the kids off his knees. We have a relationship. Well, how about your relationship? I mean, that's... it's not good for man to be alone, right? That's why God started marriage, not to be alone. It's crazy because life takes a couple away from each other. That's why both of them work and usually turns into a financial convenience relationship. And so it's a relationship. Marriage is a relationship. The Christian life is a relationship. We want you to have fellowship with us. And truly that fellowship is with the Father. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, with God, and walk in darkness, we lie. You can't have, and we'll get to this a little later, but you can't have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. That's why usually when you give people fellowship with God, their life turns around. Why? Because fellowship with God transforms you. But it's a personal experience. And by the way, it was like that in the Old Testament too. Christianity is about a personal experience, a fellowship, a relationship with you in Christ. Well, I'm part of a Christian family. No. You can be in a Christian family and not have fellowship with God and not be close to God. It's your relationship with him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's personal. Let me just show you in the Old Testament. We already read a verse in Jeremiah, but just one more. In Ezekiel, you don't have to turn there if you want, but just Ezekiel 34. Just show you how God in the Old Testament too wanted a close fellowship and close relationship. He wanted to know people and people to know him, to know the Lord. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 and verse 30. Then thus shall ye know that I, the Lord, their God am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, my people, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye are, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. You see this the phrase in there? I want you to know me. I want you to know that I'm yours and you're mine. I want you to know that I'm with you. He says, I want you to know this. I want you to understand it's a personal experience. So knowing the Lord is a personal experience. How's your relationship with God? How's your fellowship with God? How are you, is it personal? Are you fellowshipping? Do you, more than anything, do you know the Lord? I don't think that salvation and knowing the Lord are the same phrase. I think they can be. I think they can be. I don't think you can know God without being saved. But I think that knowing God is a progressive relationship. Now, knowing about God is not knowing God. Listen, if you go to this church, you're going to know about God. You're going to be taught about God. But knowing about God, there are a gazillion people that I know about that I don't know. I don't know Barack Obama. I don't know George W. Bush. I don't know Russell Wilson. I don't know tons of people. I don't know any of them. I know about them, but I don't know them. And how can I say I know them when I've never met them? Did you know that personal relationship, to be able to talk with someone and spend a few minutes with someone famous? Do you know politicians? Do you know how much they charge for fundraising dinners? To sit at a table with them and maybe talk to them for a minute and get a picture with them. We're talking like $10,000 a plate for these fundraisers to go sit with the presidential nominee or the president or a vice president. And they raise millions of dollars this way because you'll get to sit at a table with them and then you'll sit by them and say, hey, how's it going, Mr. President? Hey, and know them personally. One of the funniest stories I ever heard, Brother Howes was talking about. He's in the country in Kentucky, and a guy walked up to him and said to him, he says, it was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. The guy walked up to him and said, hey, Brother Howes, remember me? I read your articles in the Sword of the Lord. Brother Howes says, you know what? So many people read my articles that I don't remember them all. And listen, you can know about somebody. You'll get that later. Some of us think we know about God. We've heard about him. We have a Bible storybook and they have pictures of him. I know about God, but do you know him? How's your relationship with him? Don't live through somebody else's Christianity. Don't live through somebody else's Christianity. People love to say, man, my mom was so spiritual. Listen, it doesn't matter how spiritual your mom or dad was. Doesn't matter. It is your relationship with God. That's Christianity. So number one, knowing the Lord is a personal experience. Number two, people who know the Lord do great things. People who know the Lord do great things. I'm in Ezekiel, so I might as well go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 11. Love this verse, Daniel chapter 11. Talking about a tough time in history, middle of the tribulation. That's a tough time, one of the worst times in the history of the world. Tough time. And verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. What a great verse. What's a qualification for people who are going to do great things and be strong when the world's being destroyed? People who know the God. This is Daniel 11 and verse 32. People who know God. Isn't that great? Listen, people who know God, and it's a whole another series. I started with this sermon with 795 verses, and all the verses on knowing God, and have classified in them about seven different sermons. And one of those sermons is about when you know God, you know his power, you know what he can do, and you don't underestimate him. That's not this sermon, but when you know him, you know he can do it. You don't live stressed out. You don't live, you say, why? They believe God because they know him. They know him. And people he says, when you live in doubt, you're revealing that you do not know God. That's what you're revealing. How are we going to pay for this? How are we going to be provided for? How are we going to? How am I going to handle this? How am I going to go through this? There's nothing that can make you giggle. You must have a small picture of God in your mind. Can you imagine if I remember in Chicago, a lot of times they would call a gang 13 to 14 year old kids who try to act tough, and anytime that anybody tried to stop them, they'd run away. And can you imagine if I was with my wife in Chicago? I took her with me many times. Can you imagine if a 13 year old boy came up there and said, "I'm gonna kill you," and my wife said, "Oh no, we're dead." How humiliated I would be. Can you imagine that? It's saying that I'm a wimp. And so when we know God, we're not like, oh, what are we going to do? Panic, panic, panic. All things work together for good. God's a big God. God can fix your health. God can fix your finances. God can heal your marriage. God's big. They that know their God, they do great things. It's a good verse. I like that verse. Next, it's revealed when people know God. It's revealed when people know God. Let's go to John, book of John. I think faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, of course, but I think also just knowing God brings faith. I think the closer you get to God, the more you have confidence in him. John 8. I didn't even know it existed, but I found a autobiography of George Mueller. I don't know if George Mueller wrote an autobiography. Have you ever read that? An autobiography of it? There's a lot of books on him, but I've never heard of his autobiography. And you read it, Jess?
I think I read it.
Okay. You can just watch that guy's faith grow. And pretty soon he knew God so well. You talk about a guy who had things to worry about. You know how many orphans he was taking care of? And he refused to tell anybody in need. He just refused. He could literally have 500 orphans with no food. And someone would walk up and say, "Do you have any needs?" He'd say, "You know what? Just ask the God. God will tell you. I don't tell anybody." And he wouldn't tell anybody. And he never worried. Because he knew God. As his faith increased, as it got bigger and bigger, he just said, "I know." He would write ahead of time, "I know God's going to provide for this. I have a big need here. Really spent time with God. I have confidence God's," and it's good. Because you knew God, and you know God big is. John 8, when you know God, it's revealed. John 8, verse 19, it says, "Then they said unto him," the Pharisees and Sadducees, "Where is thy Father?" Jesus answered, "Ye know neither me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." But down to verse 54. He says, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is the Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Ye have not known me, but you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying." Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me." So he says, hey, if you knew God, it'd be revealed in you. It would be revealed in you. It comes out. Let me take you to 1 John chapter, and this is really powerful. 1 John chapter 2. When you know God, it's revealed. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. "And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." It's pretty easy, huh? He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Whether you know God, it's revealed by your actions. It's also revealed by you being blessed. God blesses those who know him. I'll take you to Psalms. Turn to Psalm. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read an obscure passage that I don't want to take time for you to find it. Hopefully I can find it. And turn to Psalm 36. While you're there, let me read Psalm 36 and verse 10. It says, O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness the upright in heart. And then I'm going to read Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as a morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain in the earth. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And God's going to bless. So God blesses those who do that. We would say this. We would say Christianity is a religion, not a relationship. What happens is then what happens is people who will say, liberty, liberty, liberty. We don't believe in legalism. You talk about doing things and stopping this and living holy. That's not part of Christianity. Christianity is a relationship. They go together. If a man say he knows God and doesn't keep his commandments, he's a liar. It goes together. The good actions spring from knowing God. And so, yes, it is a relationship, but a relationship has actions based on it. Okay? And it reveals itself. And so it is revealed. So they do great things. It's revealed, and it's revealed by their actions. It's revealed when they are blessed. Next, knowing the Lord should be our passion. Philippians 3:10. Paul's passion was to know God, to know him personally. Philippians in chapter 3. Verse 9, it says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Now, the context is, he said, I counted all things but dung. And he says, that I may know him. He wants to know God. That's his desire. He's willing to suffer the loss of all things, that he can know Christ. It should be our passion to know Christ. Now, I want to say this. Throughout your life, knowing God, listen, I've been married 22 years. I know my wife pretty well. We dated for 4 years before we were married. But I still learn new things about her. I still learn more. I still grow in that relationship. And that's good. You can learn for a long time about people, okay? And that's a neat thing. I like that. Can I tell you, don't ever get content with how you know the Lord. If you say, I know God completely, you're lying. God of the universe, who's omniscient and unmeasurable, and you know him. Listen, you don't know any human completely. It's a great thing. It's our whole lives. We know him better and better, hopefully, and do that. And lastly, I want to say, knowing the Lord will be our eternal future. Knowing the Lord will be our eternal future. Let's go to Jeremiah. We'll do all three verses. Jeremiah 31. You thought I was going to do all 795 verses, didn't you? And nope, I don't even do that many. Jeremiah 31. That doesn't look like the right verse. Somewhere in my notes I might have it, though. Let me see what verse I've written. You know, it's a different set of notes in my big notebook. Let me take it to John chapter 17, and I'll find it later. John 17, in the well-known verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What is eternal life? That we would know God and that we would know Jesus Christ. There it is again. We read that at the start. This is the and the fellow truly our fellowship was with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know for all eternity what God considers? Now we think of mansions and we think of streets of gold and we think of all the treasures of heaven, and those are awesome and great. But really, what God seems to think about on his side of it, and I think he kind of veils us a little bit because we won't get it till we get there, is we're going to get to know God forever. This is life eternal. We think of eternal life. We think of living forever in heaven. God thinks of us knowing him. He thinks a little different than we do. And so when God talks about knowing him, he says in his presence is fullness of joy. For him, many times he talks about heaven, he says, and I will be with them. And then he'll say, oh yeah, and I'll wipe all tears in their eyes and there won't be any sorrow. But knowing God. And I want to say, when you get in the presence of God and get to know him, I want to say, life, all that you thought was so big and important in all of this world, when you start knowing God, you start longing for God. And all the things of the world, you say, was I really that big on these things? And by the way, when you get away from knowing God and he gets distant, you forget about him, the things of the world become real big. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And knowing God is what eternal life is all about. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Knowing God. And David, you think about him, his heart after God. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. For him. For God. Not church. Not religion. Not good deeds. For God. The good deeds just happen in an incidental relationship. And it's what it's all about. Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 11, it says, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. This new covenant and then eternity, it's all about knowing God, and everybody knowing God. And during the millennium, we'll be able to go and see him, and during eternity, we'll be in heaven, and we'll get to know God, and God himself shall be their God and be with them, and they shall be his people. And John 10, that Ron talked about on Sunday night. I know my sheep, they hear my voice, they follow me. It's a relationship. So what can we know? We can know God. That's pretty cool. There's a lot of people who'd like to know. Somebody tell me the person on earth or in history, not trying to be super spiritual here, just tell me, who would you like to know more than anybody in the world? If you can meet anybody in history, who would you like to know? Anybody? Aaron? Alexander the Great. Matthew? George Washington. Who else would you like to know? Anybody? Abraham Lincoln. Be great to know these folks, wouldn't it? Be fun to sit down. Abe, let's go to dinner. And it'd be great. And it'd be fun to know them. And I think several of those we'll probably meet someday in heaven. I think it'd be cool to meet some Bible characters. Eve, oh, he wants to have a talk. That's not the same though. And we want to know these people, and it'd be fun to know them. And you ever get around a name dropper? You know name droppers? Oh yeah, I know old. You know. Listen. To know God. That any time you can go and have a talk with the God of the universe and be his friend. And be close to him and fellowship with him. Cast your burdens on him and talk to him. That's the greatest thing you can ever have. That's eternal life. This is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, and know us sent. What do we know? We can know God. That's awesome. What a privilege. You personally can know God. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of that. What an opportunity. And don't make your parents force you to be spiritual. Get to know God personally. Be his little child, be his son, be his best friend. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you.